Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Wrestle me,
wrestle me, Pete. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm good. I've got the wire on the wrong side of the head. Hang on. There we go. That feels more natural. I don't know why.
Stretching across his mouthy mouth. Not good.
We've both got little moustaches that have naturally sort of turned, curled up at the ends. Yeah. What's that about?
Do you know what it is? It's lockdown, isn't it? We're all letting ourselves go.
We've gone to seed.
I noticed we've also got a little bit of badger whitening in our beards.
Oh, yes, we have.
It's the same side as well.
I'm really annoyed because I wanted to grow a beard in lockdown, and I tried, and it was white.
Was it?
And I was like, well, white hair anyway. Yeah. I'm not having that.
It's got a slight Scott Steiner-esque.
Why does it change there?
Sort of when Hulk Hogan was beginning to go entirely white and would dye bits of it.
Yeah.
It has a look of that.
It's bizarre, isn't it?
Only acceptable in wrestling.
It's the look, the kind of look you never see anywhere else.
Yeah, invented by superstar Billy Graham.
Right.
Well, he was the first guy to have that dyed bit with the white sort of, you know, natural colours. I say natural, there's nothing natural about anything him. To do with superstar Billy Graham. Welcome back, everyone.
Natural business acumen. with his little poster, his Star Wars poster.
He sleeps natural, and by that he doesn't have a house. He's just outside in the baking Arizona sun.
I would love to see the percentage of jobbing wrestlers who wouldn't bother with hotels or Motel Sixes. They just sleep. Not even with a tent. They just sleep in the. I'm a fucking wrestler. I'm massive.
And not even choosing. Just basically sort of like walking around until they go, me tired now. And just then they're down. Absolutely no fear.
Yeah.
I did notice there was a tweet by Brutus the Barber Beefcake.
Yes.
And he was talking about having grown up in Florida and always been a sun worshipper. Whenever you see photos of Brutus Beefcake now, he is always on the beach or on a yacht or, just anywhere in Florida.
Yeah.
But he's always got his top off and he is always mahogany. But he's begun sharing pictures of cancerous lesions that he's got all over his body. And I slightly sort of think there is that thing of what Brutus looks like is he looks like someone who spends a lot of time sleeping outside. And he wakes up about midday. The sun is at its height and he is just
frazzled. What you gotta understand is... the hot Florida sun respects no man, but a man on a sun lounger can sleep wherever he wants. He can sleep on an underpass. He can sleep in brush. He can sleep on water.
I was thinking
it's perfect.
With Brutus's lesions as well, I was thinking, I bet it's crossed his mind, him thinking, I've got a lot of scissors.
Well, farmers do cut off cancerous lesions. You see it all. Well, you see it once on a little clickbait article every now and again. This is what this farmer cut off his body.
Do you know what it is? Do you know what it is, Pete? It is surgery without the big hand of Big Surge. Right?
Big Surge the surgeon.
We can all be surgeons.
Yeah.
If they allowed us access to their delicious, like, anaesthetic and
stuff. Give us the anaesthetic. Give me the stuff that's going to, like, dry out my skin. I've got a little kind of warty, morley thing on my chin. I'm getting lasered off pretty soon. And that's also why I've grown a beard, so you can't see it. But I'm like, need to get rid of that horrible moley thing.
Surgeons don't do anything special, do they? It's not like I've got a special knack.
No.
I can touch you in a certain
they've
way.
They've got access to freezing materials and a laser.
If I had access to that, I could do it myself.
I've Googled it.
Yeah. I should say, probably not the best advice. if you are going to do your own surgery on cancerous lesions, very much, you know, that is on you.
Yeah,
that's not me. But all I'm saying is I don't understand what the difference between you and a very qualified surgeon is.
I don't know the difference between us and a podcast that would suggest coffee enemas for cancer. Look, we're all in the self-care space.
This podcast is the equivalent of when I walk down like Archway in London, and there are every single traffic crossing. Mm. On the button, someone has stuck anti-COVID stickers.
Yeah, cool.
Nice. Oh, so sorry, it's a disease that you have to be tested to know you've even got. Sounds lethal. It says, that's what this podcast is.
Oh, lovely.
I started watching, so we are going to be doing WrestleMania 34 from 2018. And I clicked on the network, and I don't know if it did this with you as well, but when I clicked it on, the first thing that came up is it said, needs to update. Click here.
Right, okay, yeah.
And I knew what that update was. And that update was one that I am not... I didn't want to click on it.
Right.
Because I know what happens.
So it will take all of the all of the stuff that's going to be going to Pandora, or the fuck it's called.
Peacock. Once you click that button, all of the unacceptable racism has been stripped out of the WWE network. It's been a funny one of this because people have been very much complaining about the erasing of history.
Well, if Booker T can shout it at Hulk Hogan, why can't I shout it through a letterbox of a man?
Why can't I repeatedly shout it at a frightened family? The big edit that's been made is from WrestleMania 6, which is the Rowdy Roddy Piper versus Bad News Brown match.
I don't think we're missing that. Oh, it's finally disappeared, has it?
Yeah,
right,
that
okay.
has gone. There's also an incident where Vince McMahon uses a racial epithet, it begins with N, while talking to Booker T in the Survivor Series 2004.
I've seen that. He's very, very pleased with himself, isn't he, when he does it?
Well, I mean, I didn't do it behind his back. Yeah. Also, Power Dynamic being his
boss.
Also, it's wrestling, isn't it? And it was supposed to be entertainment. And in 2004, using that word, any other branch of entertainment would have seen your career end.
Yes.
That would
have been it. Yeah, definitely.
What's really funny about this is people are sort of very much, but it happened, so it should. Yeah, I know it happened. But, so did fucking diphtheria. We don't all sort of go, well, we shouldn't get rid of that.
Diphtheria.
But I do look at it, and what you see, of course, is this is because of the migration of the WWE network, which is its own bubble, which is only for wrestling fans.
Yeah.
And which, as we've seen over the years, with any major wrestling story that's actually had proper real-world ramifications, nobody pays any attention because it's wrestling. Well, now they've gone to Peacock. They're dealing with NBC, who are a big media company, who are a television network. And they have looked at this stuff and gone, there's no way.
You can have maybe 10% of it back.
Yeah, it would be a bit like there was a wrestler in the 90s who used to just talk about, I don't know, killing women. And in wrestling, that is fine. But as soon as you go to real TV, they're like, no.
Channel 5. Not even.
So Peacock have basically been some poor fucking sod.
Is that to go through it? Imagine having any semblance of taste and decency and having to go through the back catalogue of
my
wrestling.
God. I mean, my God.
Is there anything left?
You get to a point, I think, where you just go, I have made all those notes about that, but they don't seem important now because of this stuff that I've come across.
I've discovered a new, much larger planet of problems, and now Mars is not even a planet.
I think one of the only things that was edited off the network, and this isn't stuff like the WrestleMania match, for example, where Trish Stratus and Mickie James grabbed Trish Stratus's crotch and then licked her own hand.
Yeah.
And they very much, WWE, were like, that was crossed a line.
So hot.
It crossed the line from being professional to absolutely wonderful. They internally edited that off things like the VHS and then the replays. So they have had a certain amount of censorship that they've imposed on themselves. They've also taken out things like big mistakes. So there's a Money in the Bank ladder match, I think with Jack Swagger, where he was just unable to get the briefcase off. And that had been edited on sort of WrestleMania. So they've done it before.
What? So what did they do? Edit his arm to go longer?
No, he was up there trying to get that briefcase. And it took him, I'd say, about 40 seconds.
Right.
And so as soon as they got their hands on that footage, they were just like,
sliced it down
cut
a bit,
out 38 of those seconds. You know, we'll do a cutaway to the crowd and then back. Very easily done.
Him looking up and going, is that mine? Like off an airport carousel. Is that mine? It looks like mine.
There was also something funny about that, which is it's slightly, Jack Swagger was an underwhelming character, and they very much hoped that by giving him that opportunity, he would, you know, sort of have a rocket strapped to him. And you could see that by the fumbling and everything, he was acting out my sensation of him not being ready for it.
It's within grasp, but he's got jelly hands.
The only real bit of Taste and Decency editing that they did on the network was when they obviously began putting up WCW programming. Around 1995, 1996, there was a wrestler who only had a few appearances, a guy called Tyler Mayne, who was billed as the Final Solution. And they have, I believe...
Give it a Google, lads.
Always had that bit edited out.
Yeah.
He did later have his name changed to the Ultimate Solution.
Still not much better.
Not much better.
That, I mean, if he'd Hitler had had time, well, that's exactly what he would have done.
The word Ultimate and Final are also the same.
No.
So it's, again, you know, just call him Johnny Fuckfuck or something. Give him an entirely new persona. There is no need. I should say, I mean, one of the things that really sprung to mind when I saw this was a review that we got a couple of months ago on Podbean, and it makes me laugh whenever I think of it. But it's from a guy called T-Mac.
Okay,
and it says,
"Is this review of the review going to be settling scores or a celebration of all things wrestling?"
I think it's going to be a little bit of both, maybe more one than the other. But T-Mac wrote, "I started listening from the beginning." He's talking about WrestleMe, and it was great. I should just leave it there. Let's go out on a good note. But he said, "The woke signalling has sent me back to Bruce Pritchard."
You can fucking have him.
I always think he's missed a word out there, because he should have said, "The woke signalling has sent me scuttling back to Bruce Pritchard." His final line on it, he says, "Your socially progressive views have no business on a wrestling podcast."
I agree with that. I absolutely. There's very little of that I disagree with.
It is worth saying, I don't think that, you know, we are giving socially progressive views. I think we just, you know, this is our podcast. We will talk about what we like.
We live in a city.
But I mean, he's also got that thing of, I imagine that the cutting out of the Bad News Brown Rowdy Roddy Piper match has given him a fucking pulmonary embolism. He's absolutely furious about it. So all I would say is, you know, this is our podcast. We will do what we like. But it's not woke signalling. What it is just basic fucking decency.
Self-respect.
It really doesn't is.
It doesn't even have to extend to anyone else. Just self-respect.
I'm so glad I've never listened to Bruce Pritchard now. Oh, my Lord. I bet that's one of the things that if they go to Peacock, they're going to have to hack away at that. Look, let's get on to the USP of this podcast, woke signalling. We are talking about WrestleMania 34. This is from the 8th of April, 2018. That seems like yesterday.
It really, really does. Really? Rocket League, very much part of the show once again. It's like, oh, God, that's quite recent, isn't it?
This takes place at the Mercedes-Benz Superdome. It is best known just as the Superdome. It's in Louisiana. And the venue itself has a very, very long and glorious wrestling history. So Mid-South Wrestling had all of their great big sort of feud-ending shows here in the early 80s. Mm. Those were big stadium shows, often headlined by Junkyard Dog. He was the big sort of hero there. It was also the venue for the NWA Clash of the Champions special, where Ric Flair beat Ricky Steamboat by 2-1 in a 3-falls match. That, for years, has always been seen as being the greatest match of all time. Mm. Certainly until we get into the 2000s, where, if you like, you know, the way that wrestling changes with time makes it look less spectacular than it seemed for all those years. That Clash of the Champions was actually a special that was put on to cable TV directly to hurt the pay-per-view of WrestleMania 5.
Right.
In one of the only times that the NWA actually...
got their shit together.
Yeah, well, they turned the tables. Yeah. You also have WrestleMania 30 takes place at the Louisiana Superdome, which is the one where Daniel Bryan would win the WWE title. Mm. He is now returning after 2 years out in retirement, after a series of concussions that ended his career. He is returning for the first time to this venue where he had his greatest WrestleMania moment. The Superdome is also sort of more famous on a newsworthy level, if you like, because it was used as a shelter of last resort during Hurricane Katrina in 2005. And there were some iconic pictures of the hurricane having damaged the Superdome. It took the roof off, and it just became this great big concrete bowl. it was full of people who had nowhere else to go. Mm. And it very, very quickly began resembling the opening of The Walking Dead. So what happened is by August 2005, there had been three deaths in the Superdome while it was being used as a shelter. There were two elderly medical patients and a man who is believed to have committed suicide by jumping from the upper level seats.
Jesus.
But there became loads and loads of rumours that it had been taken over by gangs and that there were rapes and vandalism, violent assaults. There was crack dealing going on. What happened quite quickly is that a National Guardsman was attacked and shot in the dark by an assailant that he couldn't see. So the National Guard just brought in loads of barbed wire fences and they roped themselves off from the people. And there was a sense that it had turned into like a prison and there was no control.
It was like an informal settlement. I guess it is.
If you were a normal person there, you were like, oh yeah, now I have to be in crime town. I haven't got a home, but I can go there and I will not get help from the authorities.
Yeah.
I am just on my own. Mm. In essentially what is like a sort of something out of Judge Dredd. a bit of a nightmare.
What better place, Mark?
Yeah, exactly. There was some sort of, I think the media loved that and they were really like, oh, this is hell on earth.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Brilliant. Yeah.
The National
Guard. And everyone's to blame because everyone's black. Great.
Of course.
Fucking
huge
brilliant.
Huge racist element to
yeah,
it.
Yeah, massively.
Huge racist element. Scuttle back to Bruce Prichard. but the New Orleans police superintendent in September, he said there were no confirmed reports of any type of sexual assault. There was a guy who came forward called Chris Kyle, and he was a military sniper. And he said that he had been on the top of the dome with his rifle and that he had shot dead 30 armed looters during the chaos. This has never been verified.
You reckon?
But at the same time, it's never, no one, they come forward and say there were not any sexual assaults. Mm. And you go, what about the military sniper who killed all those people? And they go, not going to comment
on that. Wasn't Chris Kyle a guy from American Sniper? Or am I being stupid? Who's the American Sniper guy?
Don't know.
I've got a computer.
Hey, I killed Osama bin Laden sniper. And also a lot of people who, from a distance, look like they might have been carrying guns.
Yeah, Chris Kyle.
Has his story slightly not been subjected to querying?
Quite so. I don't know, mate. I don't know. I am imagining Bradley Cooper just on the top of the Super
Bowl. All I'm saying is when you watch this, WrestleMania 34, and they talk about, you know, the show of shows and everything, just picture that place.
Sort of
13 years before,
Marshall
where
Law.
A man is shooting dead people to protect property during a hurricane.
Yeah.
I mean, the greatest show on earth. there are 78,133 fans in attendance here. That's the same as WrestleMania 33 the previous year, but about two-thirds of WrestleMania 32, which was over 100,000. Worth saying, on Wikipedia, every single one of the attendance is for every WrestleMania.
Asterisked.
Asterisk with the word disputed. Mm. Yeah, because they do lie.
They do like to count people who work there.
Yes.
As people are watching the show.
And sometimes...
Snipers.
I mean, often you sort of go, do we count the body and also the soul? Because, you know, who's to say?
You're telling me that a Rey Mysterio is worth a Big Show. That's two. That's 2-1-1 for me. Come on.
If Big Show wasn't hanging around backstage and was in the venue, he would need at least three seats. Mark another three down. $14.1 million in ticket revenue for WrestleMania 34. That set a record as the Superdome's highest grossing entertainment event of all time.
Mm.
One of those things as well, often wrestling does do better than other events because of the way that you can seat it, because you've only got a small ring in the middle.
A lot of merch as well, presumably.
Yeah, I'm not sure what the merch sales were, but at WrestleMania, they tend to be... It's something like the rule of thumb is it's $100 for every single person who's there.
Lordy.
Which would be, I mean, you know, that would be nearly $750,000, if not far more.
Chunky.
Huge.
I've got a great... I love drinking, and I love being on holiday, and I've been to New Orleans a couple of times and I just loved the vibe of the presentation. I loved the typeface. I loved the logo. I loved the all of the graphics and stuff and the, hey, is everyone having a good time on Bourbon Street? Blah, blah, blah. So I would have very much liked to have been there.
I have a slight issue with the presentation of it, I got to tell you. One of the reasons for that is because what you're getting here, and you can see this on the network, is you're getting posters where it's just everyone. It's all the stars. And the great WrestleManias over the past have had a clear identity because they've often sort of gone, the main event is the biggest match that we can put on this year. So you think about your old ones and you do tend to be able to go, WrestleMania 6, Hogan Warrior.
Yeah.
WrestleMania 17, Rock Austin. WrestleMania 15, Michaels and Austin. You know, you can remember those main events. As we get to this period, and probably for the last 10 years, it's been very, very difficult to remember what the main events are.
Yeah, I mean, the narrative of this one has nothing to do with the main event at all. It's Rousey and all the rest of them.
So what you get on the poster is you just get everyone. It's a big schmear of stuff.
But it's that, I mean, we've seen that kind of happen as wrestling has so-called matured under the WWE, WWF sort of guise, the stewardship. You sort of get the feeling that there's a lot of bet hedging and people, you know, committee sort of led stuff.
Yeah.
And people don't really want to stick their neck out and go, this is our main event, that's what you're here for, that's going to sell a ticket. They're like, oh, and you can have this, and you can have this.
You can see it this year, which is that we are recording this probably, it's less than 10 days till WrestleMania.
Right.
It's only been in the last week that they've actually locked down any of the matches. Previously, you always had that thing of building for a year. And so you would know your direction, certainly, by the end of the previous year. So you could start building it in January in the Royal Rumble, and then you have a clear run through to WrestleMania. And what we're seeing more and more here is they're just going, the hard thing is not going, what's our main event? Because WrestleMania is the actual sort of name itself, is the attraction. And they've really lent into that. So it's all that thing about it's the show of shows and it's a moment. They constantly do this thing about the actual credits. They are just going, you need to experience this. What's on? Oh, it doesn't matter. You just need to experience this. And one of the things that they do is they sort of go, this is the equivalent. And they do use the New Orleans backdrop for this. They kind of go, this is one of those lifetime experiences. Like, for example, being out with your friends and seeing a live jazz band at a bar. Or it's like sort of like, you know, you go up to a balcony during Mardi Gras.
Throw and some beads.
There's one of your colleagues from the commodities brokerage and you high-five him and then there's
exchange
a woman
the
under
pack
your
of
arm.
Cocaine with your hands.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello, I'm Clive Anderson, and My Seven Wonders is my podcast where I sit down with some fascinating guests and ask them one simple question. If you could pick your own seven wonders of the world, what would they be? The guests' choices lead us to some interesting tales, whether it's Omar Lily being stopped by New York Customs.
They brought me in for the interview. They said, so what are you doing there? So I'm doing a show with Whoopi Goldberg. And the guy said, no, I'm doing a show with Whoopi Goldberg, as if you are. And I said, excuse me? I am. That's why I'm going there. He's doing a show with Whoopi Goldberg. I couldn't believe my ears.
Olivia Lee eating 120-pound apples at Soho House.
I mean, it is hideously expensive. If I'm just going there once and taking an apple, it's the most expensive apple you'll ever eat.
Or David Baddiel talking about his dad's dementia.
The other thing he could remember are his regular insults. So still, when you leave my dad, if you say I'm off, he will say you've been off for years. And it's really comforting that he can still abuse you in this way.
Forget the Taj Mahal and the Lighthouse of Alexandria. The wonders of the world we talk about are much more unique. Listen to My Seven Wonders now on your favourite podcast app.
My Seven Wonders with Clive Anderson is a Stakhanov production.
I wrestling has to come down to wanting to put on matches that people want to see.
Yeah.
This WrestleMania did have matches that people wanted to see. Nakamura and Styles. Mm. It has some good matches, actually, especially in the first half. But what it doesn't do is it doesn't sort of go, and this is what we build up to, the pinnacle. They are just saying the show itself is the star, and the stars on the show are just, you know, under the umbrella of WrestleMania. And I think what that shows is it shows that there is a lack of being able to put on marquee matches that people actually want to see as your main event. It would be difficult, even though we've watched them recently, it would be difficult to say what the main events have been over the last decade of WrestleMania.
No, because by that time, we're usually just, I'll just turn it off. Stop it.
Chances are it's going to involve Roman Reigns, Triple H, and a combination of other people who come in every now and then. But yeah, so I had a quick look at the kickoff show. That was, it was both a mistake and not a mistake. Mm. It was a mistake because it made WrestleMania 7.5 hours long, which is too long for anything. That's like going to work.
it really is. Nuts. And again, I just didn't have the time to do it. But it looked like there was a lot of people there's a lot of stuff to chew over. They almost like squeeze in about 3 hours worth of content into 2 hours or whatever it is.
Yeah.
And then for the rest of the show, they've got 2 hours worth of content. They must stretch out to 5 hours. It's crazy.
I made a tally of how many wrestlers perform on this show, Pete. Just have a guess. Have a stab in the dark.
It must be in like the 40s.
97 wrestlers are on this card.
And yet, there are wrestlers on the main card. We sort of got to judge, lose you. Get someone else in.
Absolutely. I mean, what you see with WrestleMania is previously, this is also one of the problems about having a huge roster, is you get to WrestleMania and you go, everyone wants to be on the show, and everyone wants to get a bit of the payday, and we want our fans to be able to see everyone. So if their favourite happens, God knows why, to be Aiden English. We want them to see Aiden English, even if it's only fleetingly.
Even if he just comes out and does a little rap and then buggers off.
What happens as well at this period is we're beginning to have a very stagnant sense of who's in the company. Mm. We are beginning to see the same people in the same positions on the card year after year after year after year. It kicks off the free show with on the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royale. This is the fifth time it's happened. Quite early on, there's a guy in the crowd who holds up a big sign, and it's got something written on the front, like, you know, woo, it's WrestleMania. But then he flips it over, and it's got a huge picture of his kid. And he's got two of them. He's got, like, you know, he's holding up his big pictures of his kids. He's just like Fathers for Fucking Justice. You know? Oh, I love my kids so much. Why aren't you fucking at home with them then?
Look after them. Bring them with you.
How long did you have to leave the house to go to the Kinko's to get that printed when you could have been actually spending time with them? Aiden English is the first man out of the Andre the Giant battle. There's 20 men involved in this.
Nice to keep track of his hair. Yeah. It just started. It was there, and then it was no there.
It's heartbreaking, Pete, because he actually shaved his head in between the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royale and later on, where he introduces Rusev.
That's hilarious.
And I look at that and I think he's made an effort. And I am amazed that you noticed it happened. And I looked at it and I thought, he's done that. And he's sort of gone, this will be special. And people will go, whoa, he's changed.
Yeah, and you go, good decision. Good decision made clearly quickly.
They don't look at him. They don't know. You know,
I've had a redesign since I got kicked out. It was like a kind of like, I got kicked out earlier. But this is new Aiden English.
It's all uphill from here, baby. Not going to be going out first next year. Well, there are a lot of people in this... Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal, who would subsequently find themselves in AEW and Impact within the next couple of years. It is a good signifier where you are in the pecking order if you're doing the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal in the pre-show. So you have talent like Matt Hardy, The Revival, Ty Dillinger, who is now working as a guy called Sean Spears. Goldust is there as well. Gallows and Anderson. All of these guys who just were talented, but there were too many people at the, you know, above them in the car, and they just cannot break through. Goldust is sort of the surprise revelation in this. At one point, he does a dab. He just sort of does a dab after he throws someone out. And Jim Ross is doing a little bit of special commentary on this, and he obviously,
I don't know what that is. He misreads
the one note they must have given, and he just sort of goes, "Looks like Goldust is now a dapper." So sweet.
I like that. It's charming.
Goldust has let his hair grow longer than it's ever been as well.
Right.
So it's just, it's not long enough to go, oh, it's a look. You just go, oh, right, he's letting himself go. And it's sort of like, it's what I call Big Show hair syndrome. If your hair is longer than it was at your peak, you're basically saying, I'm giving up. I've lost all interest in this. The length of hair is directly proportionate to how much the performer now cares.
Yeah.
So the longer it gets, the less they care.
Yeah, I'm just going to turn the cameras off for a minute.
The crowd actually are really into Goldust in this, and he's surprisingly over. And the only other real big star in there is Kane. Everyone else is sort of, you know, mid-carders on their way slightly up or mid-carders on their way slightly down. The whole Battle Royal does not look like it had much planning either, which again is a sort of indication that WWE is just like, there is so much for us to do. You just go in there and you know, you work it out, guys. We'll give you the last 2 minutes. What happens is, with the last seven people in there, Matt Hardy, with his broken Matt Hardy gimmick, begins to, I think he's woken Matt Hardy in WWE. He begins to sort of break out the pack, and the audience notice he's there, and they're sort of like, oh, we like Matt Hardy at the minute. He's got that good gimmick. There's a little bit where Ty Dillinger does his 10, 10, 10, while Matt Hardy goes, delete, delete, delete. And the crowd like, we really enjoy this. There's another face-off between Kane and Baron Corbin, where they're given the moment to do that, and the crowd are like, we do not want that. It goes silent. I love those bits where you, as the person who's put these together, you watch that Dillinger and Matt Hardy bit, and you go, yes, fucking got them. And then 3 seconds later, you're going, completely lost them. A real sort of like swings and roundabouts. The final three are Mojo Rawley, Jim Ross, and presumably another note given to him. He says, he really could be one of the greats. You've got Baron Corbin and Matt Hardy. Rawley and Baron Corbin are previous winners of the Andre the Giant Battle Royal, which again is a sort of indication that winning it really does not help you in any way. And suddenly Bray Wyatt, boom, appears in the ring. And people are excited to see him. The commentators say, we haven't seen Wyatt since the Ultimate Deletion. And I do remember that was one of the cinematic matches they put on. One of the first ones they did in WWE before we had to do them routinely because of a pandemic. Anyway, Matt Hardy wins, and he and Bray Wyatt, they hug, and everyone really, really likes this. They're like, that's what we wanted to see. I cannot remember why. Years later, it makes no real sense. But it is probably the least awful Bray Wyatt appearance at a WrestleMania. Interesting trivia fact, Wyatt became the first active WWE star to defend the WWE Championship at a WrestleMania and then fail to even be part of a match on the following year's card. There are five other wrestlers who do technically fall into that category, but they weren't active during the following year's WrestleMania. Right. They were either injured, they'd retired, or they'd left the company. Those people were Ric Flair, Shawn Michaels, Sid, Batista, Rock, and Goldberg. It's important to be thorough.
It is. Good.
Important to be thorough.
I'll send you back to another podcast if you're not careful.
The second kickoff match is the finals of the WWE Cruiserweight Championship, and that is Cedric Alexander versus Mustafa Ali. Again, excellent way to remind your wrestling crowd that, you know, cruiserweight wrestling is at best not good enough to be on a proper show. They have the Cruiserweight Championship, and again, this is probably one of the worst looking title belts in wrestling history.
Right.
It's got a very, very plastic blue strap, and it's sort of like vinyl PVC. It's like so shiny.
Like a big watch. Like a kid's watch. Flick-flack.
The closest way that I can explain to what it's like is if it was hot and you put that belt strap on you, if you pulled it off, it would like lift all your, it'd pull your skin.
Yeah.
You'd be like, oh, that's really tacky and horrible. It's so, so bad. Nigel McGuinness, who is on commentary, he mentions really early on as Cedric Alexander comes in, he goes, as a child, he was pigeon-toed. that is not a thing that I go, this guy seems like a superstar.
You do not need that in your blooming fact pie, do you? What is pigeon-toed?
Pigeon-toed's where your feet slightly turn inwards.
Oh.
And you sort of, you know, would it's one of those strange things where I sort of go, I do know what a pigeon toad is. I can picture it, but I sort of go, it's not quite how pigeons walk, though.
No.
They don't sort of go in.
No, if anything, their legs kind of like go out and out.
I would call it crone foot.
Crone foot.
Like an old woman. Like, you know, they sort of bend in. Yeah. But yeah, he was pigeon toed and they're sort of going, but he managed to get over it. It's like, yeah, I think a lot of people do. It's, you know, just strange. Cedric Alexander had made his name really in Ring of Honor. And
right.
In 2011, he had a tag team with Caprice Coleman. And because they were Cedric and Caprice, they were called CNC Wrestle Factory.
Oh, come on.
Really
Let's have
good.
A slice of that.
I saw that name and I was like, I would love that t-shirt. Just a 90s-looking thing, CNC Wrestle Factory. Alexander had taken part in the 2016 Cruiserweight tournament, and he had a match with Kota Ibushi, which was really, really good.
Mm.
And it led to the fans in the arena chanting, please sign Cedric, please sign Cedric. He was then given, I think, the following week, a contract by Triple H live on the show, which was, you know, great for him. His opponent in this, Mustafa Ali, was also signed after his performance in the Cruiserweight tournament. He was very lucky in a way because he was an alternate. He wasn't supposed to be in the main thing, but he got his slot when a Brazilian performer who was named Zumbi had issues with his visa.
Please tell me that's Zumbi as in like the Brazilian dancing Zumba.
Zumba. It would be great if he had a Zumba gimmick. I like the idea that he's like, you know, I do Zumba. And you're like, so you call Zumba? And he goes, no, that is the plural. I am simply one man. I am Zumbi.
Zumbi.
Zumbi is one of those guys who I don't think anything's been heard of since he failed to make that. It just seems he must slightly, if he watches WWE, and why would he? But if he watches WWE, he must see Mustafa Ali and just go, could have been me.
Yeah, could have been me.
I could have been doing my Fandango Brazilian gimmick. It would have been huge. Mustafa Ali was a police officer who worked night shifts, and he wrestled on the side from the surprisingly long ago times of 2003 he started.
Right, okay,
He is a Muslim, and so during his the first, I think, 6 years of his career, he wore a mask solely so he didn't sort of face discrimination. For being a person who I presume comes from sort of the Middle East originally.
I cannot imagine how difficult it would be to, just be a Muslim in general.
Well, in wrestling as well, you know, social progression has no place in wrestling. You know, that's very much. He comes out to this WrestleMania wearing a face mask that's covered with LEDs. And at the time, that seemed like quite a sort of like surprising gimmick. Mm. I mean, now it just looks normal. We have done that for the last 2 years.
Yeah.
It's funny how masks have just become part of your normal experience.
Yeah, I guess so. Not many LEDs in the world. I do think that the next thing with like wrestling kind of garb is going to be little LED screens.
Oh.
Like kind of like animated, kind of like, we've done it with like single pixel LEDs, but I think little screens all over like a big old gown.
Great.
That's doing loads of like
crazy
stuff.
Playing your own greatest moments.
Yes.
On your costumes as you come in.
Come on. Let's
have
your
entrance
that.
Video on a cape.
My God, that would be amazing.
Wow.
Wow.
Proper good. What's funny is they do come out and they kind of go, the commentators go, Ali wants to be a beacon of light, which is a very sort of like on the nose way of going, he is a Muslim.
Yes, but he wants to be
But America,
Muslim.
Be aware, he is a good, he's one of the
he's
good
one
ones.
Of the good.
He's one,
one
of the good ones.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, they are both very good in this match, but it is hurt by the reaction of the audience. The audience have been told year after year after year after year that cruiserweight wrestling is fine, but it's not real wrestling.
Mm.
And so it's just one of those things, along with, say, seeing two horses do it. You'd go, well, this is fine, but it's not real. It's not part of it. And they have a good match, but it feels like a TV match because the audience do not give it the sort of, you know, the oomph.
Because
that
the show's
not,
they know the show can't be the proper show, the big show, cannot be that far away. So they're just like,
completely, yeah.
Let's get this done.
This is very much your warm-up act.
Mm.
If you say, you know, it's a bit like doing a TV record. if you have a guy who is the warm-up in between the bits, people might be like, well, yeah, he was good. But what they aren't going to do is go, that was, you know, as good as the rest of the show.
Yeah.
They do. I'm aware that that's not the most, like, obvious thing to use. I'm presuming that everyone is aware that warm-ups aren't looked on as kindly by the production companies as the actual talent. So alienating. Just one little fact that comes out of this match. Cedric Alexander does win the Cruiserweight Championship, presented to him by Drake Maverick, who the former UK wrestler Spud. That made him the first black wrestler to actually win a belt at a WrestleMania.
Oh, 2018. That's insane.
Previously, everybody of color has either come in as a champion, they've either retained their belt or lost it. The only one that is slightly different is Maven. So Maven came into WrestleMania 18 as the hardcore champion. The way the rules worked, he lost it a few times in the match, but then right at the end, he won it, and so he left as the champion as well. So Cedric Alexander is technically the first person in WWE history to be a black performer who would actually win a, if you like, legitimate title.
Right, oh, interesting.
2018, Pete! 2018!
Good God. No excuse, really, is there?
No, none at all. So we are two prelim matches into WrestleMania 34.
If they're going to make it 2-3 hours long, the prelim, we have to include it. That's the deal.
I will tell you as well. I'll tell you as well. Certainly that match, the Cruiserweight Championship, is as good in the ring as pretty much anything that we see in the rest of the WrestleMania.
Right, okay.
It is not the only match in this WrestleMania that will be really, really hurt by the crowd reaction as well, which is a shame. The two really good matches that just, they don't get the lift that they need from the crowd for them to become, you know, actively good.
Yeah.
So we are going to be cracking on. We've got a women's battle royal coming up next. I mean, that's thrilling for everyone.
Big.
Very big. And I do just want to say before we go, I wanted to thank Jeff Brown. I think I've thanked him on the Patreon before.
Right.
But Jeff was one of the very kind people who, when I made a desperate appeal to be sent merchandise that you no longer want that's cluttering up your loft, he sent me a fantastic box, a couple of videos, but also it came with a couple of LJN big 80s rubber figures. There was a Nikolai Volkov and a Georgie Animal Steel. My child, who's two, has become obsessed with the Nikolai Volkov one.
Nice.
Absolutely loves it. He's a big Russian with a CCP red top on.
Yeah. But what's the figure like?
What a prank.
Thank you.
Fantastic. Well, look, until we get to next week, everybody, look after yourselves, have fun, and please stop thinking that social progression is a good thing.
This is no place for it.
And we'll see you soon. Wrestle me, Pete!
Wrestle me, Walkers!
This was a Stakhanov production and part of the Acast Creative Network.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.